I'm Maroon the Shantyman from the Bilge Pumps.
And I'm Harvey the Corman from, well, also the Bilge Pumps.
And this is the Renaissance Festival podcast number 283, live from the medieval fair of Norman.
Well, you can't say live, because this is a recording.
Well, it's not dead either.
No, no, it's something else.
Like what?
Well, maybe the undead.
Well, that's kind of creepy.
Yeah. So, it's the Renaissance Festival podcast, number 283. Not as live as it might have been, when it was more live before, but not quite officially dead now, sort of. From the medieval fair of Norman.
I'm not quite dead yet.
Now for a podcast with Fugly.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Fugly. The captain asked me to host this episode of the Renaissance Festival Music Podcast from the Medieval Fair of Norman, basically because he knew I would be there. Along the way, we have some interviews with cast, crew, and performers, but I'm going to start us out at the Camelot stage, which, if you go to the fair, is the farthest stage into the fair, yet it draws some of the largest audiences.
Oh, brother and sister pirates, as we gather together today to share the joy of plunder and the heartbreak of a leaky dinghy, I'm aware that many among the brethren here today are on the rocks. They've run aground. Their rigging is sprung. And there is only one thing that will bring back the pleasure of the sweet trade.
Women!
Men dressed as women!
Exactly!
Okay, two. Booty. Maybe that's just one. Anyway, I'm here to tell you, you salty dogs, there's a light on the horizon. There's a lighthouse in the distance. And if you just sail on strong, keep a steady hand on the helm. There's a safe harbor waiting. So the next time some big squid-faced monster takes and taps the back of your favorite head against a barroom wall and says, "Have you paid your dues?" Tell him what old Harvey the Corman says. "Have you paid your dues, Harvey?"
I just said that.
Well, yes, sir. The check is in the mail.
Oh. Offer void New Hampshire, Texas, and New Mexico.
Oh no, please don't take me down. Oh no, please don't take me down. I can't swim, I don't want to drown. And I got a little girl in Portsmouth town.
I went out sailing on the rolling sea a darker day. You never did see old Davy Jones come walking up to me. Said, "Boy, I'm taking you down."
Oh no, please don't take me down. Oh no, please don't take me down. I can't swim, I don't want to drown. And I got a little girl in Portsmouth town.
Said, "You've been a pirate nearly all of your life. Broke your mama's heart with your sin and strife. Killed a lot of men with your big long knife." Said, "Boy, I'm taking you down."
Oh, no, please don't take me down. Oh, no, please don't take me down. I can't swim, I don't want to drown. And I got a little girl in Portsmouth town.
Said, "I'm a different man, I've changed my ways. I don't give myself to the devil's sway. I promised that gal I'd be back one day. So please don't you take me down."
Oh, no, please don't take me down. Oh, no, please don't take me down. I can't swim, I don't want to drown. And I got a little girl in Portsmouth town.
Old Davy Jones, he looks up high above. Circling the sky as a one white dove. Said, "You've been saved by the woman's love. I'm not taking you down."
Oh, no, please don't take me down. Oh, no, please don't take me down. I can't swim, I don't want to drown. And I got a little girl in Portsmouth town.
So, brother and sister pirates, the next time you're feeling keel-hauled by life, just dig down. Dig down deep into your pockets or purses or pouches and pull out some cash or jewelry or maybe a credit card with a zero balance. Hell, we'll even take negotiable bonds because we know only you can support piracy.
Oh, no, please don't take me down. Oh, no, please don't take me down. can't swim, I don't wanna drown.
And I
got a little girl in Portsmouth Town.
Can I get a yo-ho?
Yo-ho!
Yes, you guessed it. That was the Bilge Pumps with Don't Bring Me Down from their CD, The Idiotacy. Another task that the captain gave me was to host a roundtable discussion at the Medieval Fair of Norman. What I ended up doing was hosting a Q&A session with many of the cast and performers at the After Jam, which was a party on Friday night after the first day of the fair.
Stories. I am Fugly, and I will be your host for this evening's roundtable. And I'm going to just put some general questions out there. The first is, who are you and why do you do this in the first place?
Starting with me, I'm Craig Lukey, also known as Maroon the Shanty Man from the Bilge Pumps. I have a mouthful of bread, so this is going to sound really nice. Why do we do this? The easy question is, you just kind of backslide into it. You know, you go out and you hang out at a place somewhere, and the more people you talk to, the more people you know, and the more you find out, and the more you find out more, and then you get involved. You make the mistake of volunteering for something. The next thing you know, after you volunteer for something, you go and hang out there a little bit longer after hours, and you hang around other people some more. And then they show up, and they realize that, hey, you need to spend some money on this. Well, I got to spend a little bit of money on this. Well, now I've got an investment in it, so if I'm going to put investment in it, I might as well learn what I'm doing. If you're going to learn what you're doing, then you got to spend more time with those same people that you've been spending with all this time. So you show up, and you're like, well, I can take this on the road, so I'm going to take this out somewhere else. And you meet other people. They have invested their time. They've invested their efforts. Next thing you know, there's an audience in front of you, and you're like, oh, crap. I forgot everything I learned in the last 2 years.
Well, thank you for that brief and concise answer.
I think he summed it up for all of us. Anne Marie Eckert, Medieval Fair Coordinator of the Medieval Fair of Norman. And yes, I accidentally volunteered one time. Actually, I had some friends in high school that said, come out and do this. This is fun. And I hung out with them, and then they stuck a costume on me, and then I volunteered, and then years later, I'm suddenly in charge of an entire event.
We love her because she's our first line of defense against the whiny people.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
And why do you do this?
Why do I do this? Well, I kind of backslid into it also. My name is Richard Auer, and my first medieval fair was in 2007, I believe, and I kind of married into this. We met in Dara Fogel, who was also a former, coordinator.
I was the first queen of the fair.
First queen of this fair.
And I've been assistant to the coordinator and the previous coordinator, and now I'm the office monkey.
Well, we met out of context, and she had escaped Norman, and we were courting, and we would go back to Norman always during the fair season, and we would be here for 2 weeks only during the fair. So I always thought that Norman, Oklahoma was the medieval fair. So when I finally ended up saying, I'm going to marry this woman and her family and everybody, and the whole, I was marrying into the fair idea, but I didn't realize that Norman, Oklahoma is not the same thing as the medieval fair, because after I lived here a little past the time when everybody else had moved on to the next event and I was still living here, nobody was wearing their costumes anymore. So I kind of say, yeah, I kind of got into it through false pretenses in a way. But since I was already a musician, and actually my fair experience originally on being on the road stems from Grateful Dead tour era, so I will say that was my Grateful Dead University.
What we do, I know why I do this, and I've played many, many roles at this fair. You know, I've been the poster child because I have done 9 of 41 medieval fair posters. If it's a Celtic art poster and it's from the Norman medieval fair, it's my work and I'm very proud of it. I've been the Lady of the Lake, I've been the mermaid, I've been the queen of the fair, I've been the Lord Mayor's wife, I'm the wife of Bath this weekend. But the way that I do it is that I make magic for little kids. And when I see a smile come across a 4-year-old's face, I don't need money. All I need is that smile.
Hi, Fred Flores, Jack the Rum Runner with the Bilge Pumps. A couple different things I do. I'm with the Bilge Pumps. Craig asked me a few years ago to help them out with the band because the other guitar player was supposed to leave.
Sucker.
Which he hasn't, and it sounded like a really good idea at the time. And then it was, 2 weeks? We had our first show, maybe 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Something like that. And he hands me this book. Here, learn it. 140 songs, and but it's been a really great experience. I also dress up as Jack Sparrow. Captain Sparrow, thank you.
You're all one person now.
I know. And just what she said, I love doing it for the small kids, making the balloon swords and giving them an experience that they'll never forget. And that's one of the reasons I do it. I really enjoy it.
Glasses in our hands and our work upon our back, but there's no trade among them all can mend or can mack. If it was not for the work of the weavers,
if it was not for the weavers, what would you do? You would not have a clue that's made of wool. You would not have a coat, neither black nor blue, if it was not for the work of the weavers.
Now there's folks that have no need of other tradesmen's work. The women need no barber, the dikers need no clerk. But none of them can do without a coat or a sack. Now they canna lack the work of the weavers.
If it was not for the weavers, what would you do? You would not have a cloth that's made of wool. You would not have a coat, neither black nor blue, if it was not for the work of the weavers.
Now the soldiers and the sailors and the firemen and all, there's doctors and there's ministers and them that live the law, and our friends and sisters the Medicaid, though them we never saw, we can they wear the work of the weavers.
If it was not for the weavers, what would you do? You would not have a coat that's made of wool. You would not have a coat, neither black nor blue, if it was not for the work of the weavers.
A trade that never can fail, so long as we need gold for to keep our body hale. So let us all be merry for a bicker or good ale, and we'll drink to the work of the weavers.
If it was not for the weavers, what would you do? You would not have a cloth that's made of wool. You would not have a coat, neither black nor blue, if it was not for the work of the weavers.
If it was not for the weavers, what would you do?
You would not have a cloth that's made of wool. You would not have a coat, neither black nor blue, if it was not for the work of the weavers.
That last track was Work of the Weavers, as performed by Tullamore from their CD Wild and Wicked Youth. If you're interested in interviews with Tullamore and Black Oak Shillelagh, check out last year's podcast, 257, from the Medieval Fair of Norman.
Fugly here. While I do like a good chuckle, let me set the kidding aside for a moment. I've been asked to tell you that the Louisiana Renaissance Festival is a sponsor of the Renaissance Festival Music Podcast. More to the point, what does that really mean? For true sponsorship, there must be a commonality of interests and goals. Although it is paradoxically pieced together from recordings, the ultimate aim of this podcast is to support live, fair entertainment through the appreciation of the music and the performing artists of Renaissance festivals. Like many Renaissance fairs, the Louisiana Renaissance Festival not only brings these ideals to life, it brings them to you, their patrons. It's a living, interactive theater that encourages you to play along by simultaneously being a classroom and an entertainment medium. These are the very goals on which the status of sponsor rests. Plus, as an added bonus, they offer all sorts of unique shopping opportunities right before the Yuletide holidays. You can show your support in many ways. One, of course, is to visit the Louisiana Renaissance Festival. If you live far away, make a pilgrimage. If you're local, even better. If you like the music and the goals I have described here, you will be amazed. It's an incredible experience. The arts of the past and present will only survive into the future if we actively carry them there by supporting them in the here and now. So from those of us out here in the lanes, thank you for your continued patronage and support.
Our ship sailed out from Portsmouth town.
Roll me hearties, heave-ho!
She was a gallant ship, both fore and aft.
Now roll me hearties, heave-ho! Roll me hearties, heave-ho!
And bring her about with a heave and a ho!
Now roll me hearties, heave-ho!
A pirate crew with a captain bold.
Roll me hearties, heave-ho!
Seeking ships for silver and gold.
Now roll me hearties, heave-ho! Roll me hearties, heave-ho!
There's a gale a-brewing, so bring her about now.
Roll me hearties, heave-ho!
With Captain Thompson at her wheel.
Roll me hearties, heave-ho!
We took all ships with shot and steel.
Now roll me hearties, heave-ho! Roll me hearties, heave-ho!
And point her bow into the gale now.
Roll me hearties, heave-ho!
We turn for port with gold in store.
Roll me hearties, heave-ho!
As we neared the rocks, the mainsail tore.
Now roll me hearties, heave-ho! Roll me hearties, heave-ho!
The gale is here, God save us now, boys!
Roll me hearties, heave-ho!
We're lost, me boys, the pilot said.
Roll me hearties, heave-ho!
We're going down, we'll all be dead.
Now roll me hearties, heave-ho! Roll me hearties, heave-ho!
With a terrible crash, she broke in two.
Now roll me hearties, heave-ho!
Their bones on the bottom as white as snow.
Roll me hearties, heave-ho!
In the embrace of Davy Jones.
Now roll me hearties, heave-ho! Roll me hearties, heave-ho!
That pirate crew all roast in hell.
Now roll me hearties, heave-ho! Roll me hearties, heave-ho!
That was Roll Me Hearties from the Jolly Rogers on their album Pirate's Gold. This be Searching for a Port, coming to you from the moat of the castle. As always, I be Captain Jack Gonzo of ScoundrelsIn.com to give you the day's scuttlebutt and lesson. From June 2nd to the 4th is the Blackbeard Pirate Festival in Hampton, Virginia. Ironically, this is put on, it seems, by the local government. That same weekend, in Hillsboro, Texas, there be the Texas Pirate Festival at Middle Fair. But keep an weather-eyed, though. Nature has changed that festival's dates over the last few years. Today, let's talk punishment on a ship. The term is to whip and pickle. Here, you have lashes or floggings by a leather cord, followed by dousing the wounds in a briny or acidic fluid, such as salt water or vinegar, to cause a burning sensation. To avoid such a punishment, make sure you listen to Scoundrels In live every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Central. pirate music for a pirate life. Now, from his album Pirate's Life, here is The Shanty Man with Jolly Roving Tar.
Come and ships may go as long as the sea does roll. Each sailor lodge like a tight hill at the flowing bowl. Hot trip on shore, he does adore with the girl that's nice and round. When the money's all gone, it's the same old song. Get up, Jack, John, sit down. Come along, you jolly bread boys. There's plenty of grog in the jar. We'll claw the briny ocean with a jolly roving tar. When Jack gets in, it's dynasty for some old boarding house. They'll welcome him with a rum and gin, they'll feed him on pork scouse. He'll end and spend and not to bend till he's lying drunk on the ground. When the money's all gone, it's the same old song. Get up, Jack, John, sit down. Come along, you jolly brick boys. There's plenty of grog in the jar. We'll claw the briny ocean with a jolly roving tar. Then we'll sail aboard a ship bound for some foreign shore. When he gets there, the ladies fair, the sailors do a tour. He'll go ashore and on a tear, he'll buy some girl a gown. When the money's all gone, it's a same old song. Get up, Jack, John, sit down. Come along, you jolly brave boys. There's plenty of grog in the jar. We'll plow the briny ocean with a jolly roving tar. When Jack gets old and weather be too old to roam about, in some rum shop they'll let him stop till it bells call him out. He'll lift his eyes up to the skies, saying, boys, we're homeward bound. But when the money's all gone, it's the same old song. Get up, Jack, John, sit down. Come along, you jolly brave boys. There's plenty of grog in the jar. We'll claw the briny ocean with a jolly roving tar. Come along, you jolly brave boys. There's plenty of grog in the jar. We'll claw the briny ocean with a jolly roving tar.
Special thanks to honorary minions Jesse Linder, Brad Boucher, and Mark Gunn. You can find out more about Jesse Linder at facebook.com/jesselinder.bard. How would you like to get more music, no ads, and special gifts from the Renaissance Festival podcast? Just become a podcast Patreon. Patreons are folks just like you who financially support the podcast. The people producing this show are volunteers, but there are costs involved in producing two shows a month. We have to pay for web hosting, file storage, bandwidth, and other services. By contributing as little as a dollar for each show, you will be helping this podcast continue. You can learn more on our website, renaissancefestivalmusic.com, and click on Donate, or you can go directly to patreon.com/renfestpodcast. That is Patreon, spelled patreon.com/renfestpodcast. Once there, you will see the different levels of support. Each level represents an amount that you may donate for each episode produced. So go on, take a look, and join the folks who are helping this podcast continue into its 12th year. And thank you for listening.
Next up is a brief discussion that I had with the duo Inini. I have a special relationship with this duo because their name is near and dear to my heart. You see, Inini is the Gaelic plural of Fugly.
This is Fugly on the lanes at the Medieval Fair of Norman, and I'm here with Inini, who are going to tell me their most interesting story from fair.
I think the most interesting story that's happened to us is when that woman came up to us after a show and asked if she could join our group.
And we thought she meant, like, you know, I asked for her contact information. And no, she meant right then. She wanted to perform with us that day. And I was like, no. I don't know what else to say to this lady.
Normally we would do a tryout process before we let you join.
But she was nice about it. And she's like, okay, never mind. And I was just, it was very bizarre.
Yes.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And if there is one track from your CD that you would like played on the Renaissance Festival Music Podcast, what would that be?
I've always been fond of Awakening to the Dream. It's a track that I wrote about fairies and their heritage intermingling with humans.
Drifting aimless in the sea, but a child who seems to be drifting in the eye, afloat some of identity. She can see with her ears and make lost things appear, but she can't hide from the dream that she's dreaming. She can see with her ears and make lost things appear, but she can't hide from the dream that she's dreaming. She can see with her ears and make lost things appear, but she can't hide from the dream that she's dreaming. Come away, O changeling maid, to the home in forest glade. Remember once again.
fathom five, thy father lies, of his bones are coral made. Those are pearls that were his eyes, nothing of him that doth fade, but doth suffer us he change into something rich and strange. Sea nymphs hourly ring his knell. Hark, now I hear them. Ding dong bell, ding dong bell.
And there we've come full circle from Anini to Fugly. That last piece was Full Fathomed Five from my Shakespeare All the Thrills Without the Frills CD. Since I'm also one of the performers at the Medieval Fair of Norman, I thought I would include that, keeping within the fairy or spirit theme from The Tempest.
This is Philip Hole, the singing gravedigger. You're listening to the Renaissance Festival podcast at renaissancefestivalmusic.com.
This way, now you must stay.
Just listening to The Fool by Judith Pintar, featuring Barbara Barinsky-Shelton, with additional accompaniment by the Burly Minstrels, Bob Bielefeld on recorder, and Jim Hancock on bass. I'm Bob Brinkman, curator of the Modern Bard Archive of Festival Music, and I'd like to welcome you to a new segment here at the Renaissance Festival Music Podcast, From the Archives. Together we're going to explore music that is out of print, or from artists who have since retired or passed on. For our inaugural segment, we have two songs featuring Barbara Barinsky-Shelton, better known as Baj. Baj was a 2007 inductee into the Renaissance Festival Hall of Fame. She portrayed Queen Catherine at King Richard's Fair for 24 years, as well as having appeared as the Queen at both the Sterling and Arizona Renaissance Festivals. Beloved by so many, even though she's gone, Baj's presence stays with all of us who knew her. She and harpist Judith Pintar had been collaborating on an album for Narada, but that album was sadly never completed. Three tracks were recovered from the rehearsal tapes, arranged, mixed, completed, and released to the public via SoundCloud in 2013 as From Earth to Sky. Never commercially available, we're pleased to bring two of those songs to you here today, with special thanks to Bob Hollister and with a kind blessing of Judith Pintar. We opened our segment with The Fool, the only of the three songs to ever have been played at a Renaissance fair, and closing us out is White Bird. Enjoy.
Show you your nerve. into the cellar, we got a note down from the keeper of the moat, reminding us that how to dock a half-sunken ship will be given this Tuesday morning at dock number 13 in the moat. For reasons that are more than obvious, these maneuvers will not be open to the public.
Up next, I'm bringing you more of the roundtable discussion at the After Jam party.
Now, you've got that most embarrassing moment or that most touching moment that you really want to share with the world. Who has that touching moment?
One time when I was playing the Lady of the Lake at the Medieval Fair, when we were way back at the duck pond, and I had been, like I said, walking around dealing with little kids, I'd get a child to smile at me, and then I would reach into my magic pouch because I was the Lady of the Lake and I was a creature of magic and wonder, and I would say, oh, because you've gifted me with your pearls, I shall gift you with one of mine. I had a mother chase me down all over the fair because somebody's little sister didn't get a pearl and the big brother did, and the fact that I made that much of an impression on a little one was just really magical.
We had a royal court of young lost teenagers. I myself had been a young lost teenager, and the medieval fair kind of found me and helped me focus and save my life. And so when I was queen of the fair, we kind of passed that on. And I remember one day we had a young lady who was a member of the court who, her mother made her go to a family thing on Saturday morning, and she was very, very upset when she finally got there because she was late, and she was really, really, teenage angsty about having to miss out on stuff. And I remember having a conversation with her and helping her to turn her anger against her mother and resentment against her family for infringing upon her fun to appreciating now. And don't spoil now by being mad about something that's over. She has come back to me years later and told me how that was really a major turning point lesson in her life, to realize I don't have to carry that past stuff with me into the present. I can let it go and enjoy what's happening now. And it's little things like that that really make it all worthwhile.
The most powerful story I've got is from the Muskogee Show.
Tell me your story.
I'm Al Olson. I'm a singing executioner. But a number of years ago, I saw a whole big group of people come into our stage area. And I asked, I said, so you got a family reunion? What's going on? Nobody said anything. They sat there for the show. At the end of the show, one of the women from the group comes up to me and she says, I don't know if you remember my dad or not, but he fell off a bench at your show last year. And I said, well, actually, I do remember that. She said, well, he actually fell off the bench from laughing, but he did end up dying later in the year. But every single day for the rest of his life, he was laughing about your guys' show. And as a result, we decided as a family to come to your show in his honor.
You're saying you killed a guy.
It took a little bit of work, but I finally cornered Barb Mageddon for a brief interview inside a shipping container of all places, so you can hear that going on in the background.
We're back on the lanes at the Medieval Fair of Norman, and I have with me Barb Mageddon. I'm going to ask them to introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Davin.
I'm Kaylee.
I'm Marie.
Your listening audience wants to know, whatever inspired you to adopt this lifestyle?
Oh, ask me an easy question. Honestly, it's just I grew up doing music, and I absolutely fell in love personally with the medieval Renaissance period music. I've been doing it for probably 15 years now, focused on this particular genre, so it was just kind of a natural segue to slip into this.
Well, I grew up very Irish-American in Minnesota, and so I really liked a lot of the traditional music of Ireland and Scotland. And then I discovered the Minnesota Renaissance Festival, which is just a haven of Celtic music. Went there about when I was a little kid, then I could start going every weekend when I was about 12 or 13. Kind of just didn't stop.
Well, I've wanted to live out at Fest since I was about 3. I was very disappointed when I was about 5 and found out that it doesn't actually happen all year, so I couldn't just live there. But this is as close as I could get.
Well, what is your favorite fair and why?
Well, that one's easy. That's Run in the Glen in Glenwood City, Wisconsin. That's kind of our birthplace as Barb Mageddon. That's where we cut our teeth as a group. That's where we kidnapped Marie from to be our fiddler.
Oh, yes.
So it's got a very near and dear place in our heart.
Yeah, Run in the Glen. That's my vote.
And this is your first time at the Medieval Fair of Norman. What's your impression of this fair now that you've been here a day and a half?
It's amazing!
It's large and full of friendly, wonderful people. And there are some fantastic acts out here that we've never seen before, so that's been a lot of fun.
Just absolutely delightful. I keep being surprised by how big it is. We'll come around the corner and find another piece of it that we haven't seen. A lovely sight as well.
All right, and I've got one more question. I'm going to put you on the spot. If there is one track that you would like to hear on the Renaissance Festival podcast, what would that be of your own?
What a fantastic looking question.
Pastime is a good one.
Pastime with the Company is pretty good.
That is a fantastic, fun little track that we...
Let's go with Pastime with the Company.
We enjoy that one.
I love the violin on it.
Pastime with good company, I love and shall until I die. Gratulas, but none deny, so God be pleased, thus live will I. For my pastimes, on sing and dance, my heart is set, O goodly sport, for my comfort, who shall me let? Youth must have some dalliance, of good or ill some pastance. Company methinks endless, all thoughts and fancies to digest. For idleness is chief mistress, of vice is all, then who can say, but mirth and play is best of all. Company with honesty is virtue, vice is truthy. Company is good and ill, but every man has his free will. The best they sue, the worst they shew. My mind shall be virtue to use, vice to refuse, thus shall I use me.
Earlier I commented that Inini means fugly. What I didn't tell you was, fugly means bird. And what medieval fair would be complete without some of those birds of prey?
Fugly here in the lanes of the Medieval Fair of Norman. As the rain comes down, we are here safely under a tent, we hope. We are with Raptors Keep, and we are asking them why they do what they do and what it is that they do as the rain comes pouring down outside the tent.
Hi, guys. This is Dennis Smith, the owner and founder of Raptors Keep. We do rescue, rehabilitation, education, and some of us are falconers with our own falconer's licenses. So when we're not doing all the other things, we go out and play with the birds in the field. About 8 years ago, I got asked to go up and meet Bob Anderson, who owns Royal Gauntlet Birds of Prey, and he gave me the privilege of cutting up a quail and feeding it to one of his birds. That's how I got hooked on this. I have since found in 8 years of this that that is not a privilege. That's something you pawn off on anybody that asks the question, how do I get into this? Because if you can pass the test of cutting up quail and other things, they'll let you into this. You have to be a little bit insane. You spend about an hour a day a bird. I have 5 birds currently. I'm available anytime for rescue on the western half of the state of Oklahoma. We pick up birds that have been injured, birds that people find that they think were abandoned by their parents. Quick plug here, if you find a bird on the ground, leave it alone. The parents won't come while you're there. You leave, the parents will come back and take care of the bird. We do this because we love it. There's no money to be made. In fact, the federal government will not allow us to make more than our expenses for birds that are indigenous to the United States. But we feel there's a need. We have a release rate around 80% of the birds we take in. We pay for the surgeries. We pay for the feeding. We pay for any rehabilitation. We let those animals have a second chance at life. And they go out better than they come in because we inoculate them for West Nile. We give them worming medicine, everything. We give them a total package and a better chance at life when they go out.
I'm going to leave you with one last question. I'd like to know what your most interesting story of interaction with anyone, whether it's performers or patrons of the fair, might be.
I guess the most interesting. When you work with birds of prey, they've got sharp, pointy things. They've got sharp, pointy talons. They've got sharp, pointy beaks. They've got sharp wingtips when they flap them fast enough. We were at the Oklahoma Renaissance Festival in Muskogee one weekend. We were headed out to do our show. We do 45 minutes to an hour shows 2 or 3 times a day, and then we come back and talk at the compound. And I'm about halfway to the show, and the show owner that I was working with at the time, Bob Anderson, who owns Royal Gauntlet Birds of Prey, turns to me and says, go back. And I'm
thinking, okay, my pants have fallen down, my codpiece fell off, something, you know, typical or anything. You have wardrobe malfunctions. I say, why? He says, just go back. And when you get back, put your bird up and go to the bathroom and look in the mirror. I don't know what's going on. Well, a guy had opened the gate for me to go out. The gate swings back, slaps me. My bird jumps off the glove like they always do. And I had 8 holes in my forehead and blood running down my face. Probably not something we want to show a crowd. But that's probably the most interesting since I've been doing this.
Thank you for sharing your fair experiences with us. And now return us to the podcast.
Greetings and salutations. This is Stephen Nisley, a blacksmith at the Medieval Fair of Norman, and you are listening to the Renaissance Festival Music Podcast at renaissancefestivalmusic.com.
Once again, we're here at the lanes of the Medieval Fair of Norman with Smee the Executioner, and he's going to tell us a little bit about what he does and why he does it. So I'm going to start off with a very simple question. Well, it's very loaded as well. What made you want to get involved in this sort of life?
Well, actually, it sort of was sprung on me. We had a folk singing group back in the 70s, and we were playing a gig at a theater, and the artistic director of the Minnesota Renaissance Festival, Jeff Siegel, came up to us and said, how would you guys like to perform at the Renaissance Festival? And we said, what's that? And so basically we were hired, and we didn't even know what it was going to be until it happened.
Thank you. And of all the fairs that you've performed at, what is your favorite fair, and then why?
Well, I would have to say probably King Richard's Fair in Boston, for a couple of reasons. It is an unbelievably beautiful place to live in the fall for 2 months, right through the color and cranberry bogs floating and the full moons and all that sort of thing, as well as the fact that that's my favorite audience. They're really savvy to a lot of the types of material we do, and so absolutely our favorite audience.
Thank you, and I'd like to ask you about an interesting story that you'd like to share with the listeners.
If it doesn't have to be about me, I think the funniest thing I've ever seen was after a joust in Arizona, the wild men were down jamming on broccoli and a carrot, I think. They make flutes out of vegetables. And this kid was being dragged by his mom out the gate, and he just hadn't seen enough, and so he swung her all the way around until he just came in right underneath these two. And he came up into the scene of the wild men jamming on vegetables, and his mom kept pulling him, and he was saying, he's playing broccoli! Mom! No, he's playing broccoli! As he gets dragged away by his mom.
The second half of our program is brought to you by the friendly folk of the Spanish Inquisition, who would like to invite you to the grand opening of Torquemada's Fitness Dungeon. Whether you're a hardcore heretic or simply tanning and toning, the Torquemeister guarantees he'll whip you into shape. You know, people are always asking me, why on earth did I ever become an executioner?
Why on earth did you become an executioner?
From the mouths of babes. Funny you should ask. You know, I started out as nothing more than a simple woodcutter, living on the edge. But I had a dream.
You know I'm gonna be a hatchet man. It's all part of my master plan. Hey, swinging that blade with all my might. Rock around the block till broad daylight. I'm gonna knock them dead. All the ladies gonna lose their heads. Cause I'm a chop chop, never stop. Take a little off the top, axe man. The king commanded us the other born to hang some bandits in the unicorn. Well, so the nobles, we 86 just should have stayed right out of politics. You know, it really made me want to hurl when we disemboweled the Duke of Earl. Cause I'm a chop chop, never stop. Take a little off the top, X-Man. Last night I had my big audition. I killed him at the Inquisition. Now my career is going great. I'm even meeting with heads of state. And when you're working on the guillotine, seems like every night is Halloween. Cause I'm a chop chop, never stop. Take a little off the top, X-Man. Cause I'm a chop chop, never stop. Take a little off the top, X-Man.
That That last bit was an excerpt from Smeehan's blog at the Arizona Renaissance Festival in 1994.
Mark Gunn of the Irish and Celtic Music Podcast, Captain Nicholas London of the Renaissance Festival Podcast, and artist and adventurer Matt Letter have teamed up to create a new kind of podcast. This is the story of the crew of the Quasar. Listen in as Gus Mainsails, Jenny Malone, Mark Gunn, and a group of geeks bring you their take on adventure. All fandoms, all worlds, any time and any dimension is within their grasp. Come and take a trip on our airship at quasarship.com. That's QUASORSHIP.com.
If you have heard podcast number 257, that was last year's Medieval Fair of Norman podcast, and you may remember that I interviewed many of the acts on the street. I, however, did not manage to track down Triskelion. This year, I cornered them on a Sunday morning.
Once again, Fugly out here in the lanes before the fair on Sunday morning, and I'm standing here with Triskelion, and they're going to introduce themselves.
We are Floyd and Sarah Brigden and our dearest friend, Leothard.
And what our listeners want to know is, why the heck do you do this? I mean, really.
We have lots of friends who are in the Celtic music industry, and we all play instruments and we all sing, and we thought it would be really fun to kind of get together just for fun and start playing together. And so we started a thing called Music on Fridays, and we would share music and we would get together on Friday nights and we would just play music. And then we thought, you know, maybe we'll try out a Renaissance fair and see if we can get in. And we did, and we performed at Four Winds Renaissance Festival, and that's kind of how we got started.
The beginning of the thing? Yeah.
All right. Well, you're here at the Medieval Fair of Norman, and don't let that color your answer, but I'd like to ask you, what is your favorite festival and why?
This really is our favorite festival, merely because all of the different places we play, we all meet those people here. So this is kind of like a family reunion every year when we get to come here.
It's like the center of everything.
Yeah.
And it's,
yeah.
And we were coming here before when we were just patrons. So this has got a long history with most of us.
Yeah.
I mean, with the three of us. It's just great to see it continue to flourish and be
It's getting bigger.
Right.
So it's wonderful to be able to play here.
Well, thank you. And one last question. If there is one track that you want the listeners to hear, what might that be?
Oh, it would have to be my wife's rendition of The Fisherman's Song.
Wednesday morning.
she's gone down with all
sweet note from Triskelion, I'm going to bring to you the last portion of our After Jam discussion.
What do you find particularly special about the medieval fair of Norman that you don't find any place else?
People.
No.
It's numbers, baby.
Well, what I like is how people will like reach into their closet and be exceptionally creative. Like, one of my favorite characters to see is when somebody has gone into his closet, he puts his bathrobe on, he comes out to fairgrounds, and he's wearing a broadsword. I love seeing the Knights of the Bath.
This All right. is Dara. One of the things that I really love about Medieval Fair, and this is probably true of all fairs, is that there is really a community. There's a family that has grown up around this fair. We may not see each other for 11 and a half months out of the year, but then when we come together to put on this fair together, you know, together as a community, it's like, you know, no time has elapsed since we saw each other last, and we work shoulder to shoulder to create this little bit of magic that attracts hundreds of thousands of people over a very short time. Then we tear it all down, put it in the box, and we don't see each other again for another year. It's amazing. It's magic.
Of all the fairs I've ever been to, this seems to be the one that has the most friendliest people. They don't seem, everybody seems to accept you no matter who you are. I've never seen anybody badger anybody else, and that's one of the reasons I love coming here.
In the SCA, I'm Lorenzo Falcone, and here this year I am Sir Henry Grossmont, Head Steward of England, and a lot of other titles. I'm not going to bore you with them. But I got started out of curiosity. You guys, they put a list on a computer, and they're asking people to volunteer for the cast. Well, my friend and I went down there, and we both got into the cast. That year, I was the herald for the Black Prince, and they didn't have his name recorded. I got to make one up. But I stayed because I liked the people, and I really loved the fair. I'd been going to it for several years prior to becoming a member of the cast, but I absolutely loved it.
We see people at this fair that we don't see at any other fair.
This is Bruce the Bruce.
Yeah. And with the unpronounceable Irish man, and which is Ballyhoo Kale, by the way. This fair, we see people we don't see anywhere else, and there's more of a variety of people, and the reason for that is, of course, there's no admission charge. Anybody can come in. There's no gate, per se. You can walk in and off the street, off of any of the streets surrounding Greaves Park. There's not a whole lot of control. There's no cannon starting the morning, and there's no cannon in the day. So you get a variety of people here that you just don't get anywhere else. The touching stories are all of fans and people who come in. My favorites are the handicapped ones, the ones that are in wheelchairs or mentally disabled, that all you can see is this look in their eye that they're enjoying the music, and that look that they get on their face. I'll play to 1,000 of them just to get that look once.
One of the things about Medieval Fair, and I'm sure this is true of Ren Fairs in general, is that it tends to collect the lost souls. You know, the people who have no place else to go, to practice their creativity, to be their weird self that doesn't fit in with normal society and that isn't, accepted. But in Ren Fair community, in the Medieval Fair, you find a whole bunch of people who are just as weird as you are and who not only don't reject your weirdness, but actually appreciate you and your weirdness and encourage you to produce more weirdness. And that, I think, is really the magic of Medieval Fair and Ren Fairs in general, is that it gives people a place to explore parts of themselves that their mainstream society does not accept, does not embrace, and doesn't really even understand.
What I love about Medieval Fair, and you can even extend this to like the surge of anime and sci-fi conventions and cosplay conventions, all this stuff, is it's a very supportive society. You know, the rest of the world, you have people saying, no, you can't be who you want to be. You have to be just like this. You have to be a working cog. Everything has to work the way we want it to. But here, you can be yourself. A lot of people think, hey, I'm going to go be somebody else. No, you get to be yourself, and everybody's very supportive of it. Sometimes you get things that are a little more out there than everybody else agrees with, but you get a chance to find and discover yourself where you might not be able to do that in other places. I kind of grew up in this kind of society. Because of that, I guess I don't fit in other places, because I have people tell me all the time, you need to fit this mold and this stereotype. And no, I want to be my own person, and I've never had anybody here say, you have to be this. I get to be who I want to be, which is me.
There are many acts at the Medieval Fair that don't have pre-recorded music for us to play here. What do you do in that instance? You say, hey, Ballyhoo Kale, a.k.a. the unpronounceable Irish band, play some music. Here's a microphone. And that's just what we did. So here is the unpronounceable Irish band with an even more unpronounceable name for a piece of music. Thank you.
And right now, the patrons are listening to Jeannie McCall, as performed by Black Oak Shillelagh, Lily the Pink, as performed by the Minstrel Troupe of the Medieval Fair of Norman, Tay for the Bagan, as performed by Tullamore, and Life Ain't Easy by me.
Want to have your say? Go nominate an act or fair for the Renaissance Festival Awards. Nominations are being taken for the 2017 awards now, with voting to come in the fall. Go on over to renaissancefestivalawards.org now and cast your nomination.
Fugley here, and I'm in the lanes at the Medieval Fair of Norman, and I'm here with Rogues Revenge, and they're going to tell you about their act. Please introduce yourselves.
I'm Sir William.
I'm Donna Fagan's encampment manager.
And the people of the podcast would like to know, whatever got you into this way of life in the first place?
To be perfectly candid, my son was an Olympic fencer who worked at nights when the stage combat troupe was rehearsing. And go, Mom, I want to learn to play with big swords. 14 years later, we're still at it. And he currently is the stage manager over at Merlin right now. His work schedule would not allow him to be on stage this year.
Okay, thank you. And when people ask you what you do at the fair, what do you tell them?
We perform on stage, telling stories and using swords.
We do a professional stage combat show that we have created, utilizing the talents of the various weapons that our performers prefer to use, predominantly historical weapons such as the Italian rapier, the European court sword, and occasionally, if we get our feisty guys together, we will do a German longsword battle. But
thank
all
you.
Of them are historical based.
And also the quarterstaff will do pretty much almost any weapon we can get our hands on. We like cutlasses too.
Great. And for my final question, I'd like to ask you, what is your favorite Renaissance or medieval fair and why?
I haven't been to that many. I've only been to like 3 or 4 of them. And I'm kind of a toss-up for me.
Of all the various events that we have worked at, large and small, I have to say that Norman is probably our home fair. And we enjoy creating and entertaining everyone here every year with new things. For playing, probably Scarborough Fair, because we go down there as much as possible as a troop for their Memorial Weekend's tribute to the veterans. And since a number of our people either are or have been in the military, we like giving them the chance to be honored for something other than just swinging a sword.
Thank you. And we'll send you back to your show, and we are returning you to the podcast.
All right. Thank you.
Musical interlude was Blarney Pilgrim and Banish Misfortune, as performed by Emerald Flame as I cornered them on the Troubadour stage, so that was live. If you're interested at all in what the bards of the Troubadour tent do in their off time, you might want to go to Facebook and do a search for hashtag Song of Old Troll. Sunday morning we had just a little bit of extra time on our hands and a 360-degree camera, and we posted the video under that name. I now leave you on this podcast with a story told by the Lord Mayor.
Once upon a time, there was a beautiful lake. And the lake began to boil. And steam came out of the cave at the end of the lake. And there came a creature with huge leather wings, scales on its back like iron, breath of fire. It was a
dragon.
No, it was a dragon. It was a dragon, and the dragon roared, and all the people ran and hid behind the castle. But the dragon came up to the castle and roared, and so they got a sheep. And they put the sheep outside, and the dragon went chomp. And every day it came back chomp, 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 until they ran out of sheep. And so they made a terrible choice. Everyone put their name in a pot, and whoever's name was chosen after they stirred the pot would be fed to the dragon. And they stirred the pot, and stirred the pot, and they pulled out the name of...
The Squire!
It was definitely not the Squire. The name of the Princess! And the king said, no, not my daughter, but no one else wanted to go, and so they brought the princess, and they tied her to a rock next to the lake. And the princess cried out,
"Will somebody save me? Will somebody save this poor princess?"
But the water of the lake began to boil, and steam came out from the cave at the end of the lake, and out of it came a creature with huge leather wings, breath of fire, scales on his back like iron. It was a
squire!
That's definitely not a squire. It was a dragon! And the dragon opened his mouth to chomp the princess in half. When there was a sound like... There at the top of the hill, riding a white horse, was a knight, a noble and brave knight, whose name was George. And George pointed at the dragon and said, "None shall harm the princess while I live." And the dragon turned to him and roared. And poor George, he's in a lot of trouble. I didn't give him anything to help fight the dragon. What's that thing they have at their side that they pull out? Not a squire. A sword. He had a sword. And what's that thing they have to protect themselves with? It's a... A shield. It's definitely a shield. Yeah, help the princess out here. And that big, long thing they have that they throw, it's a... Well, the king might throw a squire. I can see that. But it was a spear. And George began to ride at the dragon with his spear, and it went... And he threw the spear, wham! But the dragon's scales on his back were as hard as iron, and the spear broke. And the dragon knocked him from his horse, opened his mouth, and roared! And poor George, he's going to be cooked. But he had his shield, and he raised up his shield, and it blocked the flames. But now the dragon was raising himself up into his air with his wings, and he was coming down to squash George flat. When George pulled out the last thing he had, he pulled out his sword, and he drove it up. He drove it into the soft underbelly of the dragon. He drove it into the dragon's heart. Not his squire. He drove it into the dragon's heart, and the dragon roared, splashed into the water, and was never seen again. And everyone came up to George, and they said, George, you did it. You defeated the dragon. You can marry the princess and become king. But no, said George, for I am on a quest, and I cannot rest until all the dragons of England have been slain. And he rode away, but some say you can still see him today when England rides into battle. Saint George, the Dragon Slayer. Thank you very much. Give him a hand.
The Renaissance Festival Podcast is brought to you by the fans and performers and the podcast minions. If you enjoyed the music you heard, visit renaissancefestivalmusic.com and find out more about the artists who make the music happen. Share your support, buy their music, and tell your friends about the great music you found here. We will see you at the fair. Sláinte.
The fair is over. The sun begins to set. The cast gathers to feast among the clovers. Friends hug. Enemies hug too. Another year for us to take animosity and shrug. The drums still linger. The story is set. Music overwhelms a sad ballad singer. It passed too quick. What happened to time when musicians would gather to play a few licks? Hold me a moment. Don't say a word. Let me inhale so I can smell the magic that's floating. Another year passes. I think I must have blinked. There's too much I missed and not enough lasses.
Just so you know, no animals, patrons, or performers were harmed in the making of this podcast. However, there are still a few fae that are unaccounted for.
So, that was the podcast then.
What was that?
The podcast we just heard.
I guess I missed it. I wasn't paying attention.
Well, it is a recording, so you can always play it again.
Like a time warp?
Or, you can just play it again.
We don't need roads.
Let's do the time warp again.